listening to African Perspectives where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything was well with you. Hope you had a good weekend. You know, of course, this is Decoration Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend. So it's still going on, and hope it's been good and safe. And you enjoyed the company if you had it, or you enjoyed the fact that you had a chance to go visit people. Whatever the case, you had a good weekend. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that, the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Yep. And of course, click on that. Then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. We appreciate you, man. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. On Mondays and Wednesdays, Monday tonight from 7 to 9, and Wednesday from 7 to 9, our story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. And then on Wednesday, once again, our story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans from 7 to 9. On Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday at 5 p.m. from 5 to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. Program is from 5 to 6 on Sunday. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Because if we don't do it, you know it, family. If we don't do it, who will? We must learn to support one another. It's vitally important. Yes. Habashah. No, Africa. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Taihimba. That's right. I'm telling you, go to his website, check it out. He has a lot of good stuff on there. He has pictures. Oh man, he always immediately so his library of pictures, man, got to be tremendous. He's been doing this for years, taking our people to a trip of a lifetime. And he was in Ghana. Excuse me, he was in Kenya from April 14th. It's April 4th through the 14th. He's still in Ghana. He is in Ghana as we speak, May 24th to June 5th. His next trip, November 20th to December 1st, Tanzania. February 12th to the 23rd, 2026, Liberia. April 1st to April 13th, 2026, Kemet. May 24th to June 5th, 2026, Ghana. October 1st to October 12th, 2026, Kenya. November 19th to December, excuse me, November 19th to November 30th, Azania. Future tours upcoming, Tanzania, May 1st, excuse me, Tanzania, April 1st to the 12th, 2027, Ghana, June 10th to the 22nd, 2027, September 30th to October 11th, 2027, Kenya, and November 18th to the 29th, 2027. Three countries, Zambia, Botswana, and Zimbabwe. So check those out. And, of course, go on the website. Everything you need is there, how you can invest, repatriate, other African communities, all the paperwork that you need, shots if you need them, all of that is right there. Brothers and sisters, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures, and I told you, he has a wealth of them right now on the website and in the archives, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. HabeshaIncorporated.org. All the great work that they do here in Atlanta and in Ghana with the Kashi Project. Brothers and sisters, HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Ledge Group. The Ledge has four areas of human necessity: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on the continent in 6 countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the Ledge Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. I talked to Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. He's going to be on the program Wednesday. Brother Irritated Genie will be on the program Wednesday. And I asked him about Brother Nathaniel Jordan. He said, I don't know, but I believe he's still in Kenya. And if he is, bless him, man. Protect him. Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. Yeah, he's the Minister of Wellness. Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. He has products there and all kind of good information. The Moses West Foundation. Yeah. Smile Pharmacy hasn't been up lately. It's been down a long time. So I hope he gets back up again. You know. But the Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, I can't say enough of how important it is, because of all the human necessities, there's nothing more vitally important as a necessity than water. Water, the elixir of life. And that's what this brother brings to communities, water. Go to MosesWestFoundation.org. If you can make a contribution, please do so. If it can be an ongoing contribution, great. If it can be a one-time donation, fantastic. Whatever the case may be. We, as human beings, need water. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located, of course, in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And an area that is going through gentrification, seriously. So I'm telling you, family, and it's around the corner from where I live here. Well, Wadada's up the street from where I live. I live on Cascade, and Wadada's is on Ralph David Abernathy. Ralph David Abernathy turns and goes north on its eastern turn. When it goes west, it makes a right turn to go north, but it connects with Ralph David Abernathy and Dr. King. But going east, it goes east. Yeah. But Wadada's right there, 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, and they have a fine selection of fruit drinks, smoothies, juice bar, pastries, and so forth. Vegan food on Saturday and Sunday that you can buy. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. But the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, and t-shirts, and so much more. Check out the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. Because if you're looking for a book and she doesn't have it, she'll get it for you. And if she does have it, she'll hold it. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The other bookstore that we promote, of course, is my good brother and good friend, Brother Kazinde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. Jump on I-20, go east, take exit 74, make a left. Now you're going north about a mile and a half, and on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Give them a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There's light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride, head back in the other direction. So now you're going south. Jump back on I-20 again. Once again, go east. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit, make a right, three lights. Make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Not open today, but open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Brother Bija's got it going on. He has whatever you want, whatever you need, he's going to have it. He even has a vegan restaurant on the premise. So he can do it all for you. Give Brother Bija a call at 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. The Cultural Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby Aurelia, she is still, yes, she's still doing good work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, near that makeshift line that separates the Dominican Republic from the island of Haiti. So check her out. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. Sanjay dash Haiti .org. All right, family. We're going to, Baba Baruti and Mama Yah, of course, they're going to be going into a summer school phase of Occupant Institute. So please check them out. Going into a summer school phase. And I appreciate them. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. May 25th. Each generation must, out of relative obscurity, discover its mission, fulfill it, or betray it. Franz Fanon. Each generation must, out of relative obscurity, discover its mission, fulfill it, or betray it. In order for a people to extend themselves through time intact, they must pass themselves, their personality, and lessons learned down through each successive generation. These things must be taught. Technological know-how and life's lessons just do not come through osmosis. Those new to the society must be taught that people's reasons and beliefs, their priorities, preferences, dislike, and pleasures, the logic behind their organic, mechanical, and spiritual choices, how things work, and why they chose to work in particular of these idiosyncratic ways. You cannot build a nation without warriors willing to die for their people's right to be autonomous, to be self-defining, and maintaining their traditional sense of self. At the same time, you cannot re-Africanize another African, even if that African is your child. Believe me, in this ocean of insanity has been forced to swim in makes it too easy to be anything but African. We have to remember this when rearing our children into their African power. The parents' mission, our mission, is to provide our children with the access to all the spiritual, cultural, social, psychological inheritance, including their duty and responsibility to us as a people, not just to their family, but to us as a people. Our mission is to remove obscurity from their vision. Once grown, it is their decision whether they will follow this honorable path or not. The only possible question African parents may have is, did we do our best with what we had and knew well we reared our children? Affirm, I have discovered and I am fulfilling my mission. Affirm, I have discovered and I am fulfilling my mission as a parent to impart knowledge of self to the children. May 26. It is the essential nature of Western European society that threatens our existence, not just its mechanisms, not only its exploitative nature, nor its white racism, anti-Africanism alone. There is no single aspect that accounts for its dangerousness. Mama Marimba, Marimba Ani. Regardless of whether we consider Europeans as members of the same species or not, as intelligent, aware, warrior scholars, we have to recognize that there are profound differences between Africans and Europeans that originate at the Sili level, at the cultural development level, and only manifest themselves at the cultural level. And these group personalities differences are what make for differences at the level of individuals. Group thought and behavior is individual thought and behavior. No matter what insignificant idiosyncrasies in language, attire, diet, etc., that may be observed here and there, deviations occur within a cultural matrix. They do not violate it. And individual behavior within the specific cultural group to which they are a native is group behavior. Therefore, if we are to understand European people as a whole, we have to look at their Sili, which defines and determines all of their thought and behavior. And the core European cultural Sili imperative is, simply put, domination. Domination over people, nature, and divinity, accomplished through death, destruction, and denial of doing so. Affirm, I recognize my people's enemy, Ashe. Affirm, I recognize my people's enemy, brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe, 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 Ashe. Today, of course, is the holiday of Memorial Day. And I'm quite sure if you're as old as I am and if you thereabouts remember when
Memorial Day was the 30th of May, regardless of whatever day it fell on. Just like Labor Day, you know, and all the other ones that they give to a Monday because of the cost and expense of saying if that day fell on a Wednesday, the breakup of that month and the cost to business. So what do? They give you a 3-day weekend. And some people like that even better because just do what some people have done this weekend. Travel to visit family and friends. You know, the skies were full. The highways and byways were full, you know. And some of them are full right at this time because people are trying to get back so they can go to work tomorrow. I don't know, there used to be a thing that if you had to work, if you wanted to get paid for the day that you got off, let's say it's today, and then you would have to have worked Friday. You'd have to have worked Friday and Tuesday to get paid for the day. I don't know if that still applies. If somebody can tell me it doesn't or it still does, cool. Yeah. Memorial Day. It used to be called Decoration Day. In fact, in 1865, we started Decoration Day in South Carolina. Now, of course, Decoration Day in 1867. Let me look this up to be correct. I don't want to be incorrect. In fact, I'm trying my best always to be correct when I come on the program, so I give you the correct information, you know. So, yeah. I know that Decoration Day. The first, yes, because I asked it a question. And he said, yes, a group of formerly enslaved Africans in Charleston, South Carolina, are credited with holding the first Decoration Day ceremony in 1865, which later became known as Memorial Day. This event, a ritual of remembrance and consecration, took place at a former racetrack where Union soldiers were buried. Union soldiers were buried. And it was us because those Caucasians, we felt at the time that made that sacrifice because we firmly believed that the war was about our captivity, and in some degrees it was, you know. But Lincoln said it himself. He said, if I could solidify the Union without freeing them, I'd do so, you know. Yeah. So it wasn't all about us, but to a great extent it was. And so in May of 1865, shortly after the war ended, thousands of American Africans in Charleston, South Carolina, organized a ceremony to honor fallen Union soldiers. And the first Decoration Day, this event was involved in decorating graves, singing songs, and holding a cookout. I'm going to say a picnic. Pick a nigga. Well, a cookout is considered the origin of Memorial Day. National recognition, while this event in Charleston is recognized as the earliest, the national recognition of Memorial Day came later in 1868 as the first national observance of Memorial Day on May 30th, 1868. And it was held on May 30th. I want to say until the 70s. Or maybe late 80s or 70s. You know? Yeah. So, So when they asked, was Memorial Day started by brothers and sisters being captive, this national event galvanized efforts to honor and remember fallen soldiers that began with local observances at burial grounds in several towns throughout the United States following the end of the Civil War, such as May 1st in 1865 gathering in Charleston, South Carolina, organized by brothers and sisters to pay tribute. Mm-hmm. And of course, who started the Confederate Memorial Day? Origins in the spring of 1866, the Ladies Memorial Association of Columbus, Georgia, passed a resolution to set aside one day to annually to memorialize the Confederate dead. Remember, Memorial Day is to honor not anybody who fought in the war, but who died in the war. Veterans Day is for anybody who is a veteran who have fought in wars or who is a veteran who served, who signed up to serve, or who was drafted to serve. That's Veterans Day. But Memorial Day is to honor fallen men in wars, not just during the so-called Civil War, but all wars, all wars. In Georgia, the fourth Monday in April was formally celebrated as Confederate Memorial Day. But beginning in 2016, in response to Charleston church shooting, if you remember that, when the Caucasian went up in the church, yeah. So Nathan Deal in 2015 struck Confederate Memorial Day and Robert E. Lee's birthday from the state's official holiday calendar, replacing them with Les Dion. Yeah, okay. Yeah. How many states did recognize the Confederate? Four states still officially recognize Confederate Memorial Day: Alabama, of course, Mississippi, South Carolina, Texas. Okay, well, of course, Texas held on to captivity 2.5 more years. That's why I don't, you know, Juneteenth days, because these celebrates the fact that these crackers got 2.5 more years of free labor out of our people, you know, still with nothing, no compensation. Still, while these states have official holidays commemorating the Confederacy, other states like Florida, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Tennessee, among others, also commemorate the holiday in various ways throughout the year. So that's how they do it. When was Decoration Day changed to Memorial Day? And that's going to be in 18. Ah, here it is. The name of the holiday changed from Decoration Day to Memorial Day gradually over time, not with any single day, but rather through a period of evolving usage and official recognition. While the name Memorial Day was first used in 1882, it wasn't declared the official name by federal law until 1967. There you go, Brother Oshie. Yep, 1967. The federal government officially adopted the name Memorial Day in the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, 1967. That's when it happened. With the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which shifted the holiday to the last Monday in May, was passed in 1968, going into effect in 1971, according to the National Cemetery Administration. So, yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, I was a teenager, so I definitely remember. Let me tell you what I remember. You know, I love potato salad. And I remember we were going to a cookout. Because, you know, the parks, I'm quite sure, you don't have to have a permit or a reservation or anything to go to a park on today. First come, first serve, you know. You don't need a permit. And so we were going to go to a cookout in the park, and the box that they put the food in, they didn't secure it, and the bottle opened up, and the bowl where the potato salad was in was glass and it broke. Man, talk about a young, heartbroken young man. Damn. I was thinking about, you know, I was advocating cancel it. No, ain't no potato salad. So, but yeah, that was the time. But we're going to talk about Decoration Day. And because it's good to know, you know, where these things came from, you know. It's good to know. The first Decoration Day Americans understood that Memorial Day or Decoration Day, as my parents called it, has something to do with honoring. Let me put my glasses on, that thing that'll help. Honoring the nation's war dead. It is also a day devoted to cookouts, road races, commemorations, and doubleheaders in baseball. But where did it all begin? And who created it and why? As a nation, they were going through war. But for most Americans, the scale of death and suffering in this seemingly endless wartime belongs to other people far away or to people in other neighborhoods collectively. Collectively, we were not even allowed to see our war dead today. That was not the case in 1865. At the end of the Civil War, the dead were everywhere, some in half-buried coffins and some visibly only as identified bones spewed on the killing fields of Virginia or Georgia. Americans, North and South, faced an enormous spiritual and logistical challenge of memorialization. The dead were visible by their massive absence. Approximately 620,000 soldiers died in the war. Americans' death in all other wars combined through the Korean War conflict totaled 606,000. If the same number of Americans per capita had died in Vietnam, had died in the Civil War, 4 million names would be on the Vietnam Memorial Plaque. The most immediate legacy of the Civil War was its slaughter and how we remember it. Wars kill people and destroy human creation. That's the bottom line. But through mockery, war's devastation, flowers is inevitably bloom through its ruins. After a long siege, a prolonged bombardment for months from all around the harbor and numerous fires, the beautiful port city of Charleston, South Carolina, where the war had begun in April of 1861, laid in ruin by the spring of 1865. The city was largely abandoned by Caucasian residents by the late February, so only us was there. Among the first troops to enter the march up Meeting Street singing liberation songs was the 21st U.S. Colored Infantry. Their commander accepted the formal surrender of the city. Thousands of American Charlestonians, most former captives, remained in the city and conducted a series of commemorations to declare their sense of meaning of the war. The larger of these events, and unknown until some extraordinary luck in my recent research, took place on May 1st, 1865, during the final year of the war. The Confederates had converted the Planters horse track, the Washington race track, and the Jockey Club into an outdoor prison. Union soldiers were kept in horrible conditions in the interior of the track. At least 257 died of exposure and disease and were hastily buried in a mass grave behind the grandstand. Some 28 American African workmen went into the site, reburied the Union dead properly and built a high fence around the cemetery. They washed, they did. These brothers and sisters whitewashed the fence and built an archway over the entrance on which they inscribed the words, "Martyrs of the Race Course." Then American African Washingtonians, in cooperation with Caucasian missionaries and teachers, staged an unforgettable parade of 10,000 people on the captive holder's race course. The symbolic power of the Low Country planter aristocracy horse track, where they had displayed their wealth, leisure, and influence, was not lost on the free people. A New York Tribune correspondent witnessed the event, describing a procession of friends and mourners as South Carolina and the United States never saw before. 9:30 a.m. on May 1st, the procession stepped off, led by 3,000 American African children carrying armloads of roses and singing John Brown's body. The children were followed by several hundred American African women with baskets of flowers, wreaths, and crosses. Then came American African men marching in cadence, followed by a contingency of Union infantry and other American African and Caucasian citizens. As many as possible gathering in the cemetery enclosure, a children's choir sung, "We'll rally around the flag and the Star-Spangled Banner," and several spiritual before several American African ministers read from scripture. No record survive of which biblical passages rang out in the warm spring air, but the spirit of Leviticus 25 was surely present at these burial sites. "For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. In the year of this Jubilee, he shall return every man unto his own possessions." Following the solemn dedication, the crowd dispersed into the infield, did what many of us do on Memorial Day. They enjoyed some food, listened to speeches, and watched soldiers drill. Among the full brigade of Union infantry participating was among the 54 Massachusetts and the 34 and 104 U.S. colored troops who performed a special double column march around the gravesite. The war was over, and Decoration Day had been founded by American Africans in a ritual of remembrance and consecration. The war had boldly announced had been all about the triumph of their emancipation over a slaveholder's republic, and not about states' rights, defense of home, nor merely soldiers' valor and sacrifice. According to the remembrance written long after the fact, several slight disturbances occurred during the ceremonies of the first Decoration Day, as well as much harsh talk about the event locally afterwards. But a measure of how Charlestonians suppressed from memory this founding in favor of their own creation of the practice later came 51 years later, when the president of the Ladies Memorial Association of Charleston received an inquiry about May 1st, 1865 parade. A United Daughters of the Confederacy official from New Orleans wanted to know if it was true that American Africans had engaged in such a burial rite. Mrs. S.C. Beckwith responded tearily, "I regret that I was unable to gather any official information to answer this. In the struggle over memory and meaning in any society, some stories just get lost while others attain mainstream dominance. Officially, as a national holiday, Memorial Day emerged in 1868 when General John Logan, commander in chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, the Union Veterans Organization, called on former Northern soldiers and their communities to conduct ceremonies and decorate graves of their dead on May 30th, 1868. When flowers were planted, funeral ceremonies were attended, thousands of people in 183 cemeteries in 27 states. The following year, some 336 cities and towns in 31 states, including the South, arranged parades and ordinations. The observance grew manyfold with time. In the South, Confederate Memorial Day took shape on three different dates, April 26th, in many Deep South states, and the anniversary of General Joseph Johnson's final surrender to William Tecumseh Sherman on May 10th in the South and North Carolina. The birth date of Stonewall Jackson on June 3rd in Virginia. The birth date of Jefferson Davis, Confederacy. Over time, several American towns, North and South, claimed to be the birthplace of Memorial Day, but all of them commemoration cemetery decorations events from 1866, the pride of the place as the first large-scale ritual of Decoration Day. Therefore goes, that's right, family, therefore goes to American Africans in Charleston, South Carolina. By their labor, their words, and their songs, and their solemn parade of flowers and marching feet on the former owner's racetrack, they created for themselves and for us the Independence Day of Second American Revolution. The old racetrack is still there, an oval roadway in Hampton Park in Charleston, named for Wade Hampton, former Confederate general and the white supremacist redeemer governor of South Carolina after the end of Reconstruction. The lovely park sits adjacent to a citadel, a military academy of South Carolina, and cadets can be seen jogging on the old track any day of the week. The old grave sites dedicated to the martyrs of the racecourse is gone. Those Union dead were reinterred in 1880s to a national cemetery in Beaumont, South Carolina. Some stories endure, some disappear. Some are rediscovered in dusty archives. The pages of old newspapers and in oral history, all such stories as the first Decoration Day are but a prelude to the future reckoning. All memory is a prelude. David Blight, professor of history, Yale University, and many others contribute. Yep. The first Decoration Day. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. We're going to open the phone lines up on this day. Also, too, to talk about anything you want to talk about. A lot of information about what's happening with in Africa. This one move that Macron has made it in Cote d'Ivoire or the Ivory Coast since they got rid of the president, that they're going to move in on Cote d'Ivoire and reinstall him as the president. This is such a bold and arrogant ass move that definitely needs to be checked. Definitely needs to be checked. My contention is, and I know sometimes you don't want to go down like that, but if you have been, you know, but it, you know, to me, after all these years and all that they have done, if you are humane in any kind of way, you would say, okay, fine, we'll go. We'll go. You have made us rich, our culture. You have allowed us to exploit you all these years. And because of that, we have beautiful buildings. We have beautiful infrastructure. You know, we're not a shithole country. You know, we have other ways to, but no, they want to maintain it. Just like that asshole, Howard Nichols. We must never allow Africa to be free. Africa to utilize its own resources. We must keep Africa poor. We must keep Africa poor and get their resources. How arrogant. How, man. And so to me, what's happening is a damn shame. Because really, the so-called Geneva, at the UN, supposed to deal with worldwide disputes. And to me, Africa has a continent. African countries together, not necessarily go to the UN, but form its own world court, a world African court, and then begin to tell begin to tell European countries for all that they have done to us. As we get it together, we'll be coming for restitution. We'll be coming for reparations for all the human potential that we have lost in the captive trade, for all that we have lost during colonization, for all that we have lost during segregation, lynching. No, we didn't get lynched during our captivity unless we were so bad and kept trying to run away. No, they had bought that property to work. They wanted that property to work. They wanted them to slave, pick cotton, pick tobacco, and so forth. But since it was over, they were just lynching us, just sometimes out of entertainment. Whole group would get there. And some lynchings were publicized. This Sunday, you know, three niggers are going to be lynched. People would come there. That's where that was. Supposedly, I don't know about that. Maybe we should ask Teju that. Did that word picnic, is that really derived from, you know, them lynching us? Pick a nigga, you know. You know, pick a nigga, did that really derive from that? But there is no parallel at all to the atrocities. And I know you keep hearing this 6 million European Jews, which is bullshit. I'm just going to say it right now. Whether it was one or whether it was 6 million, but they're constantly saying that it's, and because they've been saying that for a long time. 6 million. They were planting into the minds of the public, and particularly the minds of the Christian community, because why? The Christian community, through the theology, has been told that you must support. Yeah, well, some of the Christians didn't go along with that, but the dominant ones did, and of course it's in the King James Version, which of course is the one that many of our people read. And of course they have all kinds of things about captivity, or how you should obey your earthly masters and so forth. Yeah, we're going to take a break. We come back from the break, the phone lines will be open. Join the conversation on this day as we deal with Decoration Day. Also, we can continue to talk about African Liberation Day, which is vitally important. And in fact, I maintain it is one of the most important observances that we should engage in, and that we should publicize African Liberation Day. Not no damn Africa Day, okay? African Liberation Day. All right, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and Black Talk AfricanPerspectivesRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Herbie Hancock, trader. Tough piece, Herbie Hancock. This is, of course, the commemorated date of Memorial Day to honor not everybody who served, but to honor those who died. That's what Memorial Day is about, those who died. Veterans Day for everybody who served and died, I guess. But this is specifically for those who gave their life in the service to this country. I couldn't do it. Although I did. When I was living in Norfolk and in a tough situation, man, I got to do something. So I tried to enlist in the Navy. Because, you know, that's a big naval port there in Norfolk, Virginia. And didn't make it. Missed the test by. You know, sometimes things happen for a reason. You know, I'm not a great written test taker, but, you know, I passed the test for the fire department, passed the test for lieutenant, passed it for captain. Things happen for a reason, you know? And I'm glad. For sure, I'm glad, you know? Yeah, let's talk about today. And we want to talk about African Liberation Day. I really enjoyed reading that piece about why we should call it African Liberation Day and not Africa Day. You know what I mean? That just bothers me, family. It really does. Because that's what we need. Liberation. We need African liberation, self-determination, sovereignty. And that's what we must fight for. That's what we must do. So give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And we can take questions from you or comments or concerns. And just let us know what's happening and what's on your mind. Yeah. Once again, this Wednesday, Ayokamathi, the irritated genie, will be my guest, and of course, Ayokamathi has two outstanding books out. I think three, really. Jews Are the Problem, and Jews Are the Problem Too, The Psychology of the European Jew. And I don't know, I guess, I don't know about you, family, but you know, when you look at Facebook or some other thing that deals with your algorithm, so to speak, these are some of the things that they put at you, because, you know, some other things there's no interest. And so I constantly get a lot of good stuff, and one person I get a lot of good stuff from, and that is Ma'at Kilimanjaro. He's in Nashville. I've talked to him a couple of times, and I'll be talking to him from time to time. And I respect his. He doesn't want to be on the radio, but he provides me. As I told him, he provides me with a lot of good information, brother. I mean, you really do. A lot of good information, and I'm very happy. You know, he puts out a lot of good content. Yeah. And, of course, obviously, Baba Baruti, what he puts out consistently, and all kind of good stuff that's out there that comes into my feed, you know, and stuff that I put out there. Actually, I just forward. I've a couple of times put some things out there, too. But I know there's a lot of us. So if you are out there, brothers and sisters, and you want to give us a call, please do at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. I love Mama Rimba. And Baba Broody's been putting a lot of her content out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, it is so deep and interesting that all of these people, and unfortunately millions, who support Donald Trump, an idiot, a man who has no knowledge, and even though he had an opportunity in those 4 years to come back as a more knowledgeable individual for the presidency, he didn't. And he still had the same people, you know. Although, you know, his first group of people in his cabinet, many of them he had to fire or terminate or whatever word you want to use, let go. Not so much so far today, but still he could, because they've been messing up as well. They're truly unqualified for the positions that they hold. You know, for those brothers and sisters, I want to announce the complimentary conference on the 7th of June coming up. Baba Baruti, complimentary conference. And I look forward to it. I'll be back from New Orleans. I leave this Friday to go to New Orleans. To EDI, so I won't be with you next week. I'll be in knowledge that, and where I've been for many, many years with the Executive Development Institute, the Dr. Carl Holmes Executive Development Institute, where we work with young brothers and sisters. I'm not young. Some have already. I mean, there are people who have been in the Institute who have already had 20 even 30 years, but still wanted to go through the process and maybe get another promotion or whatever before they retire. And, you know, so, yeah. Yeah. I'm apologize. I'm going through some Facebook stuff. Brother Spike Bandy posted this. Why Trump for prison? Trump for prison. Treason, collusion, conspiracy, obstruction of justice, inciting violence, racketeering, sexual assault, misconduct, perjury of oath, abuse of authority, bribery, intimidation, misuse of assets, failure to supervise, dereliction of duty, unbecoming conduct, organizing hate crimes, refuse to obey lawful orders. Refuse to obey lawful orders. That's Trump. Trump for presidency. I love it. Yeah, a real criminal. But, you know, y'all did that. Y'all did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I know some of y'all who didn't vote for him, but even in the second go round, and some of the Negroes, blacks for Trump, and some of the other foolish things that happened, you know. So, once again, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson. I get a lot of Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, I do. I mean, he's not African-centered by no means. He married Caucasians. And, of course, he believes the moon landing. I don't, you know. But he's in the science. He's an astrophysicist. He's a scientist. And he challenges religion many times. He challenges the religion, you know. And this is a good one here. If religious texts had mentioned creatures that humans wouldn't discover for millions of years, that would be extraordinary evidence of divine knowledge. But they don't, because they were written by people who had no idea dinosaurs ever existed. The truth. They talk about giants, you know, and then I've seen some stuff of these of these giants picking up huge blocks of stone, building the pyramids. I mean, these cats are like 30 feet tall, you know, rippling big muscles and so forth, and they picking up, you know, these huge stones. That's why I'm going to also to New Orleans, and one of the things I do there, aside from doing whatever I have to do to help the institute go, is I do a class on Monday, the first day, for students who are coming in. They have five courses, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. So your first year, you're in 1, your second year, you're in 2, and so forth. And of course, 5, you're going to graduate next week, Friday. Thank goodness, huh? But for EDI 1, me and Brent Burton out of L.A., retired captain out of L.A., and Yusuf Muhammad out of New York, a retired New York. Well, he was not New York. What department was he? Youngstown? No. He wasn't in FDNY, but he was in New York. I'll get it. I'll remember. But the three of us, we've been doing this class together for many years. Many years. And we used to do the morning session, the first thing in the morning. And we had to cramp all of the information that me, Muhammad, and Brent had, you know. And so we have expanded. We've been there because we've been given a day. And I want to thank Brother, the executive director, Brother Dave Washington. And, of course, Dr. Carl Holmes' daughter, Sister Carla Holmes. I want to thank them for allowing us to do it the whole day and then giving me the whole second half. Because my program and information is a lot longer. It's always has been. And especially since I added the information about Great Pyramid K, 2019. You can go to YouTube, and I've suggested you do this, and I will always suggest that you do this. Go to YouTube and put in Great Pyramid K 2019. Even though it's a 3.5-hour documentary, it is well worth it. You may not be able to watch the whole thing in one setting. Obviously, many people can't. You know, I have and will continue to do so, because every time I do watch it, I get more information, you know, and just really just tremendous information, just tremendous, and how it is presented, and it's logical. It's logical. These pyramids, not just the pyramids in Giza, because to me, in order for those to be built, They had to have information prior and utilize that information prior to build pyramids and temples and tombs, excuse me, family, and columns. See? So, yeah. It's a great pyramid cake, 2019. And so I've added that component to my presentation, but I still have the beginning presentation. I quote some great scholars of our people, you know. And then I get off into some of the things about ancient Kemet, particularly the theology, some information about some of the noted people. And then I get off into the Great Pyramid K piece. So, yeah, I look forward to that. I hope to do that ongoing, even though I probably will do what I've been doing for the last, I don't know, 20-something years, maybe what it is. And I'll still do whatever I have to do or can do or should do or can do, must do, whatever, for the Institute to keep it going. Because of COVID, we were not doing anything in 20 and 21, I believe. And we started back in 22, 23 for sure, I believe. So I know the last 2 years we've been doing it. Last year we had a good bump. A lot of people came in for the first module, the first class, and others came back if they had missed previously. So it's back on the rise. But one of the things that was kind of troublesome to some degree was the fact that EDI was successful. That's not troublesome. EDI helped many American Africans get into positions of authority in the fire service. The problem, we weren't coming on the job. There are cities that are now predominantly or damn near us, but yet the fire service is 10%, 15% maybe, 20 at the most. While we may be about 40 to 45, 50% of the city's population. I've always maintained that situation because fire service is public works jobs. The people's taxes pay for that service. And so we should be reflected in the hiring, in the positions. Milwaukee is less than 10%, but we're over 40% of the city's population. And we had a good representation of us in the promoted positions. We've even had chief of department. We've had assistant chiefs, deputy chiefs, battalion chiefs, captains, lieutenants. And now, because of the retirements and no dealings, there's no affirmative action that's been kicked to the curb. And so the hiring, they went back as they hired in the 50s and 60s, or before affirmative action happened in the 70s. I came on the fire department in the 70s, in 76 to be exact. And of course, as you know, Donald Trump was adamant about that shit. We're going to be doing, you know, none of this DEI. Don't even look at that. For diversity, equity, and inclusion. Don't even look at that. Look at merit. Who determines it? Who judges it? Exactly. This is the most overtly racist administration current. I'm quite sure the previous ones were even worse. Even worse. But the ones that are current because of what is happening. So, yeah. So I can go on rants here, I guess.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I can go on rants. And I tell you, I'm so proud of Ibrahim Traoré. And what he has done, you know, and how others are coming. I believe that Senegal is going to come on board, Ghana. I believe eventually all the other countries, because the only way, family, for Africa is through unity. If Africa is going to achieve the great things and the great potential that it has, it will be because of unity. Not a country, not 54 independent. Some even say 54 sovereign. No, they are not. And no, they ain't independent. Most of them still are in colonialism. I just seen a piece on Namibia. The Germans are still there. The Indians are still moving into Uganda. Once again, family, you know.
Call may be recorded or transcribed.
These things that are happening and have happened will continue to happen until Africa unites. Oh, Brother Paul, what's happening, man? How you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic, Baba Ochi. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Yes, sir.
Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Yeah. How is your family?
Everybody's good. Everybody's good. And, you know, they have an off day today. Today is Memorial Day. But I gave a little history on it because on this day, initially, this was called Decoration Day. And we started it, American Africans, you know, in Charleston, South Carolina. At the former racetrack, it was a prison for Union soldiers, where Confederate soldiers kept Union soldiers. And at the end of the war in May of 1865, we buried them properly, and we had a service, a memorial service, so to speak, and flowers and everything like that. And then, of course, Memorial Day became a national holiday some years later, with a general proclaiming it, and of course whoever was present at the time, you know, making it known that's and it was May 30th, and I was a kid, I remember all the time that May 30th, that was a holiday, and it fell on May 30th, whatever the day was. And of course they changed that in the late 60s and early 70s, that the Monday Holiday Act came in existence, and Labor Day and a few other holidays, that Dr. King's birthday is another one. His birthday is the 15th, but is celebrated on the second Monday of January. And so that came into existence, and but many people did not know that we started it. We started it out of those men that we would want to recognize helping us to gain freedom. And of course, like everything else, it was taken from us, because that's what they do, you know, that's what they do. So y'all don't have a day like that, do y'all, in the UK?
Well, no, we don't. We don't. In actual fact, I know that I've heard Memorial Day, but I didn't have the information you've just given. No, yeah. And I wasn't fully aware of the whole context of the of the holiday. But it's interesting, very interesting, you know.
Yeah.
And this is the right forum to kind of put out the information and share it.
Oh, for sure.
Although it is today, it is bank holiday today.
Oh, yeah.
So Yeah, it's Bank Holiday Monday.
Oh, okay. Okay, or Banking Day. Yeah, I know that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, what's Bank Holiday. Bank Holiday. Yeah. So everybody's off work today. Mm-hmm. So it's the holiday, you know, it's a holiday sure. period.
Sure.
Yes, sir. But the work goes on and the vibe goes on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, we just got to keep up the momentum.
Sure.
You know, keep the truth flowing.
Keep the fires.
And that's it, Baba Ochi.
Keep the fires burning for justice.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's our line. Sir. That's our line with the Black Firefighters Association, International Association of Black Professional Firefighters. Keep the fires burning for justice. And
absolutely.
And that's turn what we up the heat. Do. Yeah. Turn. Hey. Yep. Turn up the heat. That's right. Get shit done.
Turn up the heat, man.
That's for sure. So.
Yeah. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things going on. You know, Baba Ochi, you talk about Cote d'Ivoire, yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, I've heard on this side of the pond, yeah, people who suggest they have family there. There wasn't actually a coup.
Okay.
You know, the same kind of thing. People are talking about takeover of the government and the government leaving, all this sort of thing,
right.
And a few people who, in actual fact, I think Sunday they had, they were trying to get in touch with someone who actually lived here, mm-hmm. lived there. But for some reason or the other, it didn't match up. But, there's a brother who phoned, he's got family there. And he said, they suggest there wasn't actually any coup and it's not true.
Okay.
That the president left, whatever, yeah.
Cause
see, that's the thing. There's a
lot of disinformation. And so even though you look at Facebook and you see these things, you know, it's a lot of it is not true. And all this stuff, unfortunately, you can throw anything out there and say anything. And if some of it seems to be plausible, but it's not. It's not true, you know. Well, in this instant, supposedly, there was a coup in Cote d'Ivoire. The president was kicked out. And then the next move, which I don't believe is so, the next move was that that Macron and France was going to put him back in. So they were going to come into Cote d'Ivoire with a show of force and put him back in. And then, of course, the brothers in the Sahel, they wanted to come together and to check that if he got kicked out by the people, not the military, but the people of Cote d'Ivoire, then that should be the deal. Should, you know, but considering France is losing, you know, many countries, Senegal is about to declare independence from the colonizer. And I'm quite sure there are going to be other countries to do so in the coming months. Now, whether some of those things are true or not, you got to look at and read it with a discerning eye or a scrutinizing eye to determine what's real, what is not. Because even though you see it and because of AI, they can make things look real when they're not. I mean, visibly real when they're not, you know.
You know, there's a saying, right? As you were talking, I was thinking there's a saying which apparently Churchill said. He made this. He said that in a time of war, the truth is so precious that you have to hide it in a barrage of lies.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I've looked that up, and apparently. I found some evidence that Hitler actually said it, but people. So I don't know who said it,
yeah.
Right? But a lot of people say Churchill say. I'm probably paraphrasing. I probably haven't got it, but it's along those lines. In the time of war, the truth is so precious that you have to disguise it or hide it in a barrage of lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of people say that we are at war, which I don't agree with.
Okay.
Personally, I don't think we are at war in any shape or fashion.
Okay.
Because if I accepted that we were at war, then I'd have to accept that our strategies are the most diabolical ever. And mm-hmm. I can't accept that we're at war. I can't accept that because you don't go and work for your enemy.
Right.
You don't put your children in the schools of your enemy. I mean, what kind of war is this?
Yeah.
You don't rely on your enemy to feed you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you know, that's why I can't accept right. we're at war. If I accept we're at war, that means we are the most diabolical soldiers ever.
No, right. Because see, if you, I understand, although I use the phrase of the cliche, we are at war for the minds of our people. But the reality is what you're saying is that you don't accept their hospitals. You don't accept their medical diagnosis. You don't accept none of that which they present to you, because it's all designed to get rid of you. You know, you don't accept his education. You don't accept the fact that he makes you live in certain areas or makes you live in certain ways. No, you don't accept it. But of course, we want to say that we are at war, but I don't see us challenging a lot of it. A lot of us are just going along to get along, you know? A lot of us are.
I think we're definitely under attack. We're under a mm-hmm. sustained and continuous attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we haven't learned to do, or I mean, not everybody, but a majority of us haven't learned to defend ourselves against the attack.
Right.
You understand? You know what I mean? We don't mm-hmm. know how to, you know, to defend ourselves against the attackers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, so therefore, what we do, we just kind of sometimes bury our head in the sand. For instance, you know, when they came along with the pandemic, mm-hmm. a lot of us did not know what to do, Baba Ochi, to be honest with you. We could, and you, the reason why we didn't know that this was a red flag is because we have no defense strategies.
Right.
We were not able to tap into previous records and look at these people's precedents, their history. We got to admit, a lot of people rushed to get these things. We just followed the narrative. That tells me that majority of us. We're defeated in our minds, man. We are. We just go along
well,
to get
along. Look how comfortable that is. Look how comfortable that is.
That's what
I'm
saying.
And when you're spoken to and you're given the idea of individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, you know, you go along to get along. You know?
Absolutely.
You don't want to coalesce with brothers and sisters to try to challenge this shit. No. You know, the fear that has been put into you and into your heart and mindset makes you just go along to get along. Yeah. So, yeah.
Programs like this, Time for Awakening, as the title suggests,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's time to wake up.
Right.
Right?
That's now, right.
You know, what percentage of people who need to wake up are actually tuned in or are listening to mm-hmm. programs like this?
Yeah,
that suggests to me that a great deal of them do not want to wake up.
No,
they don't want to wake up. And see, this is quite crucial. This point there, yeah, because I've heard it argued even on this platform and others that, you know, it's not that they don't want to wake up; they just don't know. And mm-hmm. I don't accept that they don't know. They do know.
They do know.
They absolutely do know. I don't know how anyone could even come to that conclusion mm-hmm. that they don't know. It's all around you.
Yeah.
People are absolutely choosing. Look, it's quite easy, right, to stay in some ideology and claim that your rewards is on the other side. That's an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Claim that there's some character who came to save you and he's coming back to save you.
Right.
And
exactly.
That is the easy thing to do.
Very.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that the evidence around you is so apparent that you are in trouble.
Yes.
Right? And what it means is that you as the individual have to take responsibility for your mind, for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to yeah. make some necessary steps yeah. to protect yourself. But it's easy to convince yourself that no, it's not really going on, along with the propaganda which is put your way.
Mm-hmm.
Which you know you fall on that side because that means you don't have to do nothing. So when people suggest that, oh, they don't know, I'm sorry, I just totally absolutely disagree. They do know. You know. They have they chosen that right. stage.
Exactly. They chose the ignorance, but they do know. Yep. I got some more they callers do know, here. Man. I got some more callers here.
Absolutely.
Brother Paul, you want to just hang on, brother? All right. Brother Irv, what's happening? How you doing?
I'm good, Bob Oshie. Can you hear me?
I can, man. Where you at, man? You sound like you're in a tunnel.
Man, I know it sounds like an echo in here, but
yes,
Bob Oshie, I got to say that I agree with everything that Paul is saying.
Yeah,
that Paul has just said. Yeah, everything that he said, and to add to that, individualism gives you a sense of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's easy to be afraid when you're standing alone,
mm-hmm.
but if when you're standing together, there's unity. In
that's
unity,
right.
there's strength.
Right, and so you can't be weak. You can't be weak. You gotta step up with the others.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Mm-hmm. The group, you feed off the group's energy,
mm-hmm.
and the energy propels you forward. That's like a herd mentality.
Right.
It can be used for positive or negative. If you look at the Trump mega people or the Tea Party, who they used to be called,
mm-hmm.
they have a herd mentality. They live in a constant state of cognitive dissonance because no matter what you say or what you show about this man Trump,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
they're going to say he's doing it for you. He's doing it for the country. He's doing it for the patriots. That's what he's doing it for.
Patriots.
So when you teach people, when you indoctrinate people into individualism, and also you teach people to not solve their own problems, you know, look at the white folks behind Trump. Trump's going to save us. Where did you get that from? Where do we get that from? We get that from a Jesus Christ complex.
Hmm.
Somebody's going to come save us.
Yeah.
And Trump's people are the same thing. Their Jesus is Trump.
Sure.
But your Jesus is different. So what the point I'm making is, the same one that Paul was making. We've been indoctrinated. We send our children to their schools, and in Africa, they were doing the same thing in Gambia.
Mm-hmm.
They were teaching a European curriculum to those children. Anything African was bad.
Sure.
Anything African was dark. Anything African was savage. Well, they do the same thing here.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing here. Subliminally, I looked at a little bit of television the other day, and you know, because my mind is open, because I see through a different lens, I started counting the black people that I saw on television. And I was looking and I said, my God, some of these, I can watch TV for an hour and see three black people. And I said to myself, that's how it should be. Because if I owned a TV station, I would have all black people on
sure.
there and just two or three white folks.
Sure.
And we laugh at that because we have been indoctrinated to believe that a white folks going to do it, they're going to level the playing field. They're going to do it even. They don't dislike us. Yes, they do. They do. And Malcolm even said it. They give you the liberal gives you the impression that he's your friend and benefactor and all that type of stuff. But in reality, it's me and you, Baba Oshie, yeah. till it's me or you.
Well, he gives you the he gives you the illusion of your inclusion into his madness,
yes.
and we fall
yes.
prey to it, you know, because how he presents it, you want to be in that, you want to be with him, you want him to accept you, and
right.
you will be willing to forgive all the evil mm-hmm. that he has done, even to the mm-hmm. point of how you talk, your language. Your look,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, in today, I never forget. I had a conversation when I was gaining consciousness in the 70s. And this conversation talked about the number of high yellow people, if you want to use that term, or so-called mm-hmm. mixed race people. You know, when I looked at the NBA the other day, I was like, damn, there's a lot of light skinned brothers.
Yes.
You know, and that's because of the black men who chose white women.
That's correct.
You know,
That's
a majority of them. And it's still happening. And it's still happening. Just like, well, I saw Travis Hunter in his marital situation, and there's everybody kept telling him, dude, your ugly ass, I shouldn't say that, but she fooling you. As soon as she can, as soon as you can drop a baby for her, she probably going to cut out because she going to get your money. And that's all it is.
Oh, he has a snow bunny?
Yes. He has a snow bunny. Damn near all of them. I looked at the brother who from OKC, you know, Gildress Alexander, you know, and he has a snow bunny, you know. And it gets, listen, it's epidemic, man. It's epidemic.
Well, now it's generational. Mm-hmm. Because we were given the impression that if we integrate with these Caucasians, we'll have a better chance of having what they have.
Right.
If we live where they live, we'll be safe. If we go to their schools, we'll be as smart as them. If we can get right beside them, some of that whiteness will rub off on us, and we'll be.
And because we believe that the closer to whiteness that we look is more acceptable, our dark skin. Our locked hair, whatever, you know, they couldn't take that. But you bring along some cat who has, you know, he may have some locks, but it ain't like, you know, a Rasta, you know. Mm-mm. More importantly, he's safe looking. He's not menacing, you know. As some African people that in their perception are. So, yeah.
Well, see, we've been taught. See, that's the thing about going to Eurocentric schools or having a Eurocentric curriculum. We've been taught what's menacing. We've been taught what looks good. Skinny, fair skin, fine hair.
Yes.
That looks good. And then what's scary? Scary is a tall, dark skin black man. How about a tall, light skin like The Rock? All you look at. You don't know if The Rock is black, white, red, or blue, but he's a big, tall guy.
But his father was black. He was light-skinned. His father was. But see, the point in being with all of that, Brother Irv, is how do you identify? How do you identify? I don't know if you know, what's the sister of Washington, who was an actress back in the 30s or 40s.
Washington?
Yeah, it's Freddie Washington. She's a sister. Freddie Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I give her much respect and love. Could easily pass. She could easily pass, but she didn't. She played in The Imitation of Life the first time, in the first one, you know.
In that movie,
of course, she's passing, but of course, she didn't do that. You know, she didn't pass. She played in many of Oscar Michaud's movies and other American African movies. She was sincere. She donated to the cause, donated money to the cause, spoke up on behalf of the cause for us as a people. So I don't know if you want to get it, you know, look up Freddie Washington, you would say, "Oh man, yeah."
Oh yeah, I remember hearing that name before. But let me say this before I get off, Baba Oshi. For all the white people that are listening to this broadcast right now, and there are some listening, because Baba Oshi, we are the center of the study for Caucasians. They believe they know more about us than they know about themselves. But the reality is, you don't know us. You don't know me because you live in that. You live in a place where you believe you are superior to me.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, when you already know that you've caught, it's like when I saw Donald Trump on TV with the president of South Africa trying to make him look like a damn fool because he wanted people to believe that he was over here begging for something. Mm-hmm. The minerals are in South Africa. The United States don't have the minerals. So he's only over here because it's something he has that Trump wants. He wants nothing from Trump other than the technology. He wants to be able to protect South Africa. But, you know, South Africa is going to be a big player coming up in the next 15 to 20 years because, like you said, Africa is changing as soon as Togo comes on board, Senegal comes on board. Ghana's going to come on board. They all are going to form a block, and that block will be so powerful in the continent that you won't be able to get around them.
Right. But other countries will begin to come on board with that.
Of course they will.
No doubt.
Of course they will. Then they will kick the Chinese out. They will kick the Germans out. They will kick the French, the Belgians. All of them will be, they will no longer be needed, because you will nationalize your minerals. And once you nationalize it, they can't have private companies. You can't own property. It's like the African can't come to America and open up a license for a gold mine, but yet an American can go to Africa and get a gold mine. Those days are over with.
It's over.
Those days are over with. But I want to ask the white people that are listening, if you could be black, would you be black right now? Raise your hand if you would be black right now. If you could just choose to be a black person, and no one would raise their hand. Because white people know that black people have it hard.
Right.
They know it's different for us than them.
Yes.
They don't want to drive down the street, had a couple of beer, and all of a sudden I'm shot, laying on the ground, spread eagle, with a man with a gun to my head talking about my license is expired. Really? But that don't happen to white folks. And then we're in the prison system, and we outnumber everybody else in there.
Right.
Because we've been to the injustice system, and for some reason we are considered savages and criminals and crooks, and we're not. And we know we're not. So until we start teaching our own, I always end with a solution. We have to teach our own children. Mm-hmm. We have to stop sending them to these Caucasians to teach.
Doubt.
And if we don't, we need to teach them at home. Mm-hmm. We need to have Saturday school. These so-called churches and so-called pastors that tell you to pray for your bills, but we got to take up a collection for his. We need to have a Saturday school in these churches. We got more churches, as many churches as we got liquor stores. So we just need to have Saturday, either have the Saturday school in the church or have it in the liquor store. Because both of them, that's all we got in the community, liquor stores, barbershops. So my point is, we have to teach our children.
Right.
If we don't, someone else will teach them.
Exactly.
And what they are teaching them is to go out and get you a snow bunny. Run a basket, play basketball, or shoot, run a football, and you'll end up, you'll be as good as OJ. But where's OJ now? And how was his life?
Yeah.
How did he live? He loved white folks so much till it killed him. He loved them to death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Let me catch another call before we go.
Yeah, do that, brother.
Thank you so much, brother. Talk with you later.
Yes, sir.
Please. Brother Jay, what's happening? How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, Oshi? Listen, the boy Hunter side piece, she's not white. She's mixed. And Gilchrist or Alexander, I think she may be mixed also. But regardless, they both are in for a hell of a...
Yeah.
Awakening at some point in time, because I really feel bad for the Hunter kid, because it seems like he's a real good kid with a good heart, and when it's all said and done,
but you know,
she's gonna do Listen, Jay,
I'm not sure if Dion didn't try to hip him. Did Dion just say, hey, man?
Dion did. Dion did.
But he didn't want to listen to it, obviously. Is that right? Okay. Number one, he should have had a prenuptial. That should be for all these cats. This should be, you know, it's just like, now there's a lot of sisters that are mad about Edwards, you know, because he put a lot of stuff in his mama's name, you know. So stuff.
Yeah, but you know, that's not the same. That's not the same here in the USA like it is over in Europe. Over in Europe is a whole different ball game in regards to putting assets in your parents' name and things of that nature. It's not done that way in America, because white folks ain't gonna allow that to happen. So no, it's a little different. But the kid Alexander Gilchrist, he's about to become the highest paid NBA player in the NBA. I mean, they talking about this cat making $79 million a year, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
20 million more than Curry in them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's supposed to sign this contract before the start of the next season. And on top of him winning the MVP, that's why he's going to get the biggest contract ever in NBA history, which, hey, you know.
Well, listen,
hopefully,
man,
he protects himself.
Yeah.
That's all you can hope for in these situations. But I know Hunter, he just seems to be totally different, because if you know Deion, you know Deion schooled him. And because Deion was already making millions of dollars for the kid with that NLI, you know what I mean?
Right.
So he's already a legitimate millionaire going into the league, and Lord knows if he performs the way that we hope he does, he's going to be even bigger on the next contract.
Sure.
But, you know, that's it. But listen, as Irv says, we have to look to be in a position to forge our divine destiny. Mm-hmm. And when these African countries finally come together, we're definitely going to be in a place to move forward. And this is going to surprise you when I say this to you. I think that Trump is doing a hell of a job and uniting African people within themselves.
I really think, he ain't doing it intentionally, obviously. He ain't doing it intentionally.
Yeah, he's
such an asshole.
After Africa in the manner in which, you know, Clinton or someone else will try to take their minerals. He's trying to commit racial harmony and all that. Not even racial harmony, but racial dominance. And there's a difference between racial dominance and economic dominance.
Yeah.
It's a whole different game. And because of his ignorance and stupidity, you know, he's not going after the resources in the manner in which he's going after racial dominance in the game that he played in South Africa. And lastly, this, if you notice, these African countries are making deals outside of America.
If other people was in office,
that wouldn't be going down that way.
No, they're doing it, rightfully so. All right, Jay.
All right, brother.
My brother. Peace. Have a good day. Enjoy this ending of the holiday weekend. June 6th, Complementarity Conference will take place here in Atlanta. Baba Baruti, Mama Ya. And June 7th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And, of course, you can go online to reserve your position. Register by following donation of $40 a couple, $25 a just single adult, and $12 for teens. And you can use PayPal, yabaruti at yahoo.com, YAA, Baruti, BARUTI at Yahoo, or Cash App, $ M Baruti, or Zelle, yabaruti at yahoo.com, under Linda Lloyd Crawford. Included in your information, complimentary conference, your name, your email address, so you can send you the link. Okay? That's June 7th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., the complimentary conference. And also, too, there was something else I was going to announce. Oh, yes, the Irritated Genie will be our guest this Wednesday. Brother Ayo Kamathi. And brother, believe me, we're going to have a lot of discussions. So I hope you join us and be a part of the conversation. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.